You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Look ahead to the action on Tuesday. It gets underway at 1:50pm on Racing Radio. Brighton and Kenton in the afternoon, and Yarmouth and Newton Abbot in the evening. Join Ollie Pimlott, Sean Quinn and Andy Holding for all the analysis, all the selections, and to look ahead to the day's racing. Andy joins me now. Andy, how's it going?
It's good, John. Yeah, very good. Start to a busy week. 4 days in the Naismeyer. Excellent action, and I think we've got races that are going to live up to their star billing. Often, sometimes you get Group 1s and Group 2s, which aren't quite as good as the status, but I think in this particular instance, we can categorically say that is not the case, because we do have some fantastic racing, and a lot of horses are coming here in fantastic form, so we should get an idea with regards to pecking order, who's going to go into the sort of thick end of the autumn with their tail behind them.
Well, speaking of the action at York, it of course gets underway on Wednesday. We'll be looking at all the day's action in more detail on tomorrow's racing podcast. But for now, let's have a look at two of the biggest races on the first day of the Ebor meeting. Andy, we'll start off with, well, what is on ratings, the best race of the year in Britain, or so they tell us, the Jump International. And actually, if you look at the lineup here, it doesn't look far off that standard. Churchill at 9-4 favourite. Barney Roy 5-2 time of recording. Ulysses 100-30. 7-1 Cliffs of Moher. Shutter Speed 10-1. 12-1 for Decorated Knight. And My Dream Boat is a 40-1 outsider.
Yeah, I mean, the key to this race would arguably be the Coral Eclipse, wasn't it, at Sandown, where Barney Roy and Ulysses fought out. Fantastic finish. Sir Michael Stout's horse came out on top that day, signifying his improvement and, of course, his love affair for Sandown. I think this race is at Sandown. I think Ulysses should be favourite in my eyes, but it's obviously not there. And this track arguably will end up playing into Barney Roy's strength. Give him a flat galloping track, as he's proven so far this season, particularly at Newbury when he won first time out in the Greenham. He's been an awesome horse to watch. That long raking stride, doesn't want him to be interrupted. He doesn't want to have any hills and cambers and slopes. But on a level terrain, I think he's going to be very much at home. And I think he can uphold the form with Churchill, of course, when they met in the St James's Palace Stakes, and he beat him fair and square. And Churchill really was gone into that race off the crest of a wave with victories in the 2000 and the Irish and English 2000 guineas respectively. And yet he couldn't lay a glove on Barney Roy on that occasion. So I think he's quite a weak favourite, Churchill. I'd certainly have Barney Roy over Ulysses on this occasion away from Sandown. I think the other one to mention is Cliffs of Moher, who got very badly hampered when a short prize favourite to win the Eclipse. He'd been a gallant runner-up in the Derby the time before, when his petrol gauge just flashed on empty inside the final furlong. This mile and a quarter, extended mile and a quarter, should be absolutely ideal. And it wouldn't surprise me out of those two from Ballydoyle if he actually came out of the best, even though he's a 7-1 shot and Shamey Heffernan rides him. But I think Barney Roy for me would be the one I'd plumb for at this stage.
It's got to be a concern with Churchill that quite often these Ballydoyle runners, we find that they need the run not only at the beginning of the season, but sometimes after a couple of months off, which is, of course, what he's had now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's another slight concern. It's just everything about Churchill at that price that is enough to put me off. You know, he's coming there off the back of a modest run last time out. He's yet to run beyond a mile, and he's going up to mile two and a half, whereas we know Barley Roy, Ulysses and Cliffs of Moher stay really well. So it's just surprising for me that he's favourite. But that's the bookmaker's view. Doesn't mean to say the punters have to take that view.
Well, it should be a great race. The Drummond International is off at 3:35 on Wednesday, the first day of the York Ebor Festival. And the chief supporting race on that card is the Great Voltiger Stakes. Off at 3:00 on the same card, of course. Cracksman, odds on, 10-11 for this one. It's favourite at the time of recording. Mirage Dancer, 4-1. Venice Beach is 8-1. 10-1 for Count Octave. Douglas MacArthur, 11-1. 12-1 for Smash Steps. Khalidi is 16-1. And Atty Purse, been a fascinating horse to watch, if you ask me, this season is 20-1. Andy, what do you make of this race?
Yeah, I think this one's definitely Cracksman's to lose. I mean, this track really should play into his strengths. He did really well at Epsom when he finished third behind Wings of Eagle in the Derby. The Derby's worked out really well this year. Nothing wrong with his run next time out behind Capri, who was well backed and got a lovely run through up the inside rail, whereas Cracksman had to challenge on the slowest part of the track down the middle. But he had to be carried out on his shield. He's been given a nice little break since the early part of July. And this is very much a stepping stone to perhaps to see whether he's going to end up being maybe a St. Ledger horse. Probably unlikely, being as John Gosden has got several big bullets to fire in the St. Ledger towards the back end of the season. More likely this horse could end up even catapulting himself into the Arc de Triomphe scene, even though that he's got an able in that. So I'm not sure which way John's going to go with Cracksman after Wednesday. But either way, he's very much a worthy favourite on what he's done.
Gosden suggested that if Cracksman shows what he wants him to here, that could be it for him for the season.
Oh, right, okay.
Come back at four, which would be not a traditional route for a great voltager winner necessarily. But
yeah, it's the fact that he has got an able for the Arc, and I say he's got several horses he can run at the St. Ledger. But yeah, he's a very talented horse, Cracksman, and like I said, the Naismar should suit his run style.
Anything else at a slightly bigger price? I thought Venice Beach was impressive at the early part of the season.
He was, yeah. He obviously got put in his place in the Derby, so strictly on that form, he can't beat Cracksman. I do think Mirage Dancer's worth a look. Sir Michael Statt's got one or two nice stays this season, and he's got Crystal Ocean, of course, who's one of the favourites for the St. Ledger himself, and Mirage Dancer might easily make up the Battalion from the Sir Michael Stout stable. If he was to run well here, he was a good third last time at Ascot behind Ben Battle in that mile and a quarter Group 3 contest. And he's steadily improving with each run. He was unlucky at the time before at Chester as well behind Cliff Samoa when he needed the run. He didn't get the clearest of runs. But this track should really suit him. And I think he's the main danger. And I think the market's got this absolutely spot on this race. I can't see anything wrong with the prices there.
Cracksman is the 10-11 favourite at the time of recording for the Great Voltager Stakes, and Andy Holding thinks that is the correct price for John Gosden's charge. It will be interesting to hear how the first day of the Ebor Festival unfolds on Wednesday. You can catch all the action live on William Hill's Racing Radio. But from Wednesday, let's switch to Tuesday, and the racing perhaps not as a higher quality, Andy, but still some fascinating contests to pick apart here. We've got some... We're looking at two races at Kempton, one at New Abbot and one at Yarmouth here. We'll start off at Kempton for their afternoon meeting. Their 4:15 is a 7-furlong handicap for horses aged 3 and above. 11 declared to go to post. What would you like to look of?
Well, he's got a bit of a trappy draw to overcome here, so I'm getting the disclaimer in already. But I quite like Sir Titan here as a horse, Marcus Dragonin's charge. And Stevie Drown has ridden him on his last two or three runs, and I do know Stevie does like this horse. I speak to Steve quite regularly, and when he got off him at Wolverhampton, I had a conversation with him, and he said that he really did think he was well handicapped, and he proved that next time, and when he went to Windsor, albeit he only won by a narrow margin. He got beat on his next run at Goodwood, but the ground would have probably been a bit softer than ideal over a trip which is too short for him as well. You know, soft ground, 7 furlongs, but he's back running on his favoured polytrack surface tomorrow. If it just wasn't for stall 11, I'd make him a really confident vote here, because I do think he's still well handicapped off a mark of 88. But Stevie Drown does know every grain of sand better than most, so hopefully he can get him into a reasonable position from that outside draw. And if he does, then I think this horse, who's got a good turn of foot, could easily be up to justifying his position in the market, because I've got a sneaky feeling he's going to be one of the fancied horses.
So Titan for Andy then in Kempton's 4:15. And an hour later, it's a mile and a half handicap for three-year-olds at the same course. We've got 11 in this one, Andy.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting mix here of some very likely race types and some who are some more seasoned campaigners already.
Yeah, there's two horses that stand out here. They both come here off the back of victories. Tomorrow Mystery and Wolf Catcher Jack. Now, Wolf Catcher Jack, I'd be amazed if this horse is not favourite, having scored over the course and distance last time out when well backed. Typical Sir Mark Prescott. We've seen a horse today duplicate its performance from a previous run. And you often find when these lightly raced three-year-olds that Sir Mark gets, they tend to rattle off sequences once they get their head in front, they're running over the right distance. So course and distance winner, clearly the one to beat. But I do quite rate this Tomorrow Mystery, even though the horse has got perhaps a little bit on its plate to give way to way two, Sir Marks. But she was really impressive on the speed figures last time out at Wolverhampton when she made all the running in the hands of Dougie Costello and won by 6 lengths. But like I said, the time figure was exceptionally quick. Now, it all depends what happens in the early dynamics of this race. I think if Tomorrow Mystery goes out in front and serves it up to Wolf Catcher Jack, it could be, like I say, quite an intriguing contest between the two, because she won't back down, Tomorrow Mystery. She is a very tenacious horse, and it'll certainly give favourite backers all the trouble they can handle, I'd imagine. So, preempting the prices tomorrow, I'd imagine that Wolf Catcher Jack could be favourite, but I think Tomorrow Mystery will end up being the value of the two.
Also, the two that carry penalties in the race, interesting, which perhaps speaks for their ability in winning races. Would that be a concern for you at all?
I never really worry too much about penalties and weights and measures. I just go on times, and you know, there's a million reasons why some horses don't maintain or reverse form, etc., etc. It's just mandatory, isn't it? They get penalties for winning before the handicapper can reassess them. It wouldn't have any concern with me. I actually think in this instance, I think if the handicapper could do it sums all over again, he'd probably give them even more weight than what they've got.
Yeah, certainly Tomorrow Mystery after a 6 length for victory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she'd probably be up 10 or 12. Yeah. And consequently, the same would probably be the same against Wolf Catcher Jack. So they are still both very well handicapped, even though they have technically gone up in the weights.
We'll move on to Newton Abbott then. Of course, a jumps meeting here as always. Their 6:30 is a 2 mile, 1 furlong handicap hurdle for horses aged 3 and above. We've got 8 in the field here, and quite a few, Andy, arrive here in relatively good form.
Yeah, not more so than Core Tantra from the Anthony Honeyball stable, a horse who was really impressive last time out, landing a gamble. Anthony Honeyball had a couple of horses on that card that were well back that day, and they both justified favouritism. GG was the other one, and this horse having its first run for Anthony Honeyball since leaving Hugo Stroud in the first time tongue-tie, I think that was the key component to this horse being victorious. It was very impressive visually and on the clock. This horse absolutely flew around the West Country venue to win in the style of a very well handicapped horse. Again, another trainer that's done really well, seeing the chink of light in the programme, but running a horse at a certain track, then spotting a week later there's another similar race, getting in out quickly, striking while the iron's hot. Albeit this is a much tougher race for Core Tantra than it was before, up against the likes of Peruvian Blue, St Saviour, and in particular Free Stone Hill, who's been very much an eye-catcher for the Dan Skelton stable throughout the summer jumping period. But I was really impressed with Core Tantra, and I think he'll take all the beating from the front again.
Core Tantra for Andy there in the 6:30 at Newton Abbott. And from the jumps, we return to the flat for the final race. We're going to look at it. Another 7 furlong race, actually, at Yarmouth. They're 7:10. It's a 7 furlong handicap. Forces age 3 and older. 7 going to post here, Andy.
Yep.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm a big speed figure man. As you've already probably gathered by this conversation, I go on clocked horses, what they've clocked on the times. And Multicultural posted a very big speed figure when he won here 5 days ago. Okay, course and distance form. I do like that continuity. If you get a horse that's run well out of track and they've done a good number, when they go back to that track again, particularly within a week, then they're usually good bets. And I do like the way this horse went through that race. He always looked as though he was in control. He quickened on demand at the 2 furlong pole. He pulled readily clear of his field. And being a 3-year-old at this time of year against the older horses, he's quite clearly a very well handicapped tool off a mark of now 79. He was 73 going into that race the time before.
Carries a penalty again.
Another one, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's been a theme of this podcast, hasn't it? The old penalty horses. But the blinkers, which were on that occasion, clearly worked the oracle. They sharpened his mind up throughout that race, and they're on again as well. So providing that the headgear works for the second time in a row, I've no reason to go against Multicultural.
Well, I'm very glad to hear you say that as well, because Yarmouth, along with Brighton in the afternoon, are the two clear meetings for Tuesday here at William Hill. And when asked to put up a horse that could win by a 2 clear margin earlier on across those two meetings, the Multicultural was the one I picked out, 7:10 Yarmouth.
Well, there we go.
And now we've got Andy Holding corroborating it.
Rubber stamping it.
Can't be beaten, yes, in the 7:10 at Yarmouth. Andy, thanks very much for your thoughts.
No problem.
On Tuesday's action, and make sure you tune into it all. Well, you'll be doing it, Andy, but to the listeners, make sure you tune into it all on William Hill's Racing Radio.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.